Now,
the rest of the story. John Dillinger, public enemy number one. There's still a great deal of controversy over how and when he died, so now at last we're going to set the record straight. May of 1934, John Dillinger was hiding out. He had heard that many prominent gangland figures were submitting to plastic surgery. They were having their faces changed. They were having their fingerprints obliterated in order to become less recognizable, less detectable. And this prospect fascinated Dillinger. He contacted his lawyer. The lawyer mentioned the name of a German-born surgeon, a Dr. Lesser. Lesser had practiced in Chicago for nearly 30 years. He had done time at Leavenworth on a narcotics rap. Now he was out and in need of cash. But Dillinger wanted to know, was he good? Yes, Dr. Lesser was a magician with a knife. So the arrangements were made, and on the evening of May 27, 1934, John Dillinger arrived at a weather-beaten two-story shack on Chicago's north side. If all went well, public enemy number one would emerge incognito, surgically, permanently. Dillinger's lawyers met him at the house, explained the details. The place was owned by a former speakeasy operator, no problem there. Dr. Lesser and his assistant would arrive the next day. The flat fee was $5,000, one-third to the lawyer. The operation would take place in a bedroom. Dillinger would recuperate in a back room. Dillinger nodded, satisfied that everything was running smoothly. In the morning, the doctor and his young assistant were brought to the house. Dr. Lesser was tall, stoop-shouldered, apparently confident. The assistant, on the other hand, appeared pale, nervous, dissipated. Lesser examined Dillinger's heart, asked if he wanted a local or a general anesthetic. Dillinger asked for a general. Specifically, surgically, what was it that Dillinger wanted done? Well, then the bad man explained that he wanted 3 moles and a scar removed. He wanted a depression on the bridge of his nose filled. He wanted the dimple on his chin erased. And yes, the fingerprints, they had to come off. And Lesser agreed. Dillinger disrobed and lay down on a cot. It was expected that in a matter of hours, the familiar face on the post office wall would be no more. Lesser went into the bathroom to wash his hands. Dillinger rested patiently as the assistant fashioned a mask out of toweling, and through this the ether would be administered. The gangster began to draw deep breaths, but in his nervousness, the young assistant gave too much ether too quickly. Dillinger's face was turning blue. The assistant started shouting. Dr. Lesser hurried from the bathroom. Dillinger had swallowed his tongue. Lesser grabbed a forceps, removed the gangster's tongue from his throat, but there was still no breathing. John Dillinger, public enemy number one, was dead. In a rundown shack on Chicago's north side, just prior to cosmetic surgery, John Dillinger died, an overdose of ether. But the surgeon, Dr. Lesser, would not give up. He abruptly forced Dillinger's elbows into his chest. He began giving artificial respiration, and eventually Dillinger, who had technically expired, revived. All vital signs were nil, but now he had revived. And 25 days later, after successful surgery, John Dillinger strode from a Chicago theater with the lady in red, and the FBI shot him dead. But that, as I say, was 25 days later. And that's what history records as the death of John Dillinger. But now you know John Dillinger died twice. For you know the rest of the story.